Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the EFES Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, episode number 25. Welcome to the EFES Nation Podcast. Got my buddy Holden Hassel, Triple H, back with us this week. No stranger to the podcast, as you all know. If you've listened into any other episodes, you've seen Holden on multiple times with us. Today, instead of saving this for later in the year, might as well just address it now. We're going to be talking about the holistic approach that CrossCell is. Most of you know if you've been listening in. We are a life and Medicare-centric company. We also cross-sell to annuities, helping our clients any way we can, which includes more ways than one. And so we got Triple H in with us today. Excited to have you with us, buddy. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you for having me. I love doing the podcasts and trying to provide some insight to people on the industry, how we operate, what's different about us, and all of the changes, the cuts and changes that come along. So I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's always fun having you on. I know that schedules are hectic, particularly for you right now. We got calls all over the calendar. We got people reaching out. Lots of new names reaching out, wanting to talk about joining the organization. So we're kind of going through those, seeing who's a good fit. So schedules are crazy. So I appreciate you always putting some time aside for us. But we're going to just jump right into it today. There's no reason to delay. We, as in you and I and, you know, Medicare Bob, the whole AmeriLife team, our leadership team here, everybody's been talking about and discussing ever since the new CMS, ruling has dropped. We've looked on social media. We've enjoyed watching the people freak out a little bit, like, okay, we're not the only ones. And then we actually have time to read it. We have time to digest it, understand how, you know, what is really happening? What are the changes to expect? After kind of cutting through any and all drama, just to fully digest and understand what's impending. And the question that kind of comes up that I know you've asked a little bit is, you know, is there something to be fearful of? Initially, when everything dropped, that was the question. Like, is there something to be fearful of? Is there anything that's going to give you a little bit of consternation as we approach this upcoming 2025 AEP? And so I'll just start today's podcast off with just that for all those listening in. We've had some really good feedback, some friends in the business that we don't even work with kind of give us their two cents. And we want to get it on an actual podcast where you're able to kind of share with us, what are your thoughts after deciphering everything? What are we really looking at here? What do we expect in this new rule change?
Yeah, wow. I think there's a lot to it. So we're going to break that down, as you know, to bite-sized chunks. Yeah. I guess we can start with the changes for the agent, because that's probably what people are looking at the most. And then we can talk about the different dynamics of the changes for the FMOs, for the clients, and for the insurance companies, right? So what does that mean and how does it all work? So I think I'll start first by the agents, right? So CMS releases this thing every single year called the final rule, which of course is not final if you change it every year. It's final for that particular year. So there's always adjustments to it. So just so people understand is the people that run CMS, which is a Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they get appointed by those that are in office. So whoever runs the administration, they give an initiative to those individuals and say, hey, listen, this is what we would like you to do. This is our agenda for our administration, whoever's in the Oval Office. And these are the changes we'd like to see. You know, maybe we want to cut spending here, we want to increase spending here, we want to do X, Y, and Z. And those are the changes that provide us with uncertainty. So the regulation aspect is what helps us as, and whenever those new rules comes out, is what helps us is the AmeriLife working with them. And like Chase mentioned, a bunch of the other top performing individuals, affiliates with AmeriLife that have that insight because they have decades of experience. You know, I've been in the industry a decade and I think that's a long time, but I will tell you there's people that are in it way longer than me and they've seen more than I have seen in that period of time, of course. So they've released this document over 1,300 pages. No one person can tell you with absolute certainty on what's going on. I prefer to wait like every year whenever this stuff changes to wait for the carriers and their interpretation of it. And they'll give us that interpretation. You know, where do we stand? and how does it impact everybody that's involved in this whole supply chain, if you will, you know, the whole sales process and everybody, right? I mean, you're also talking, besides just talking about the agent, who else are you talking about? You're talking about the clients, the companies, the FMOs, the doctors, the hospitals. You know, those insurance companies have a ton of staff as well. How does it change for them? So I think those are all, you know, really, really good questions to ask. And what I liked about the document that came out this year is that the agents were shown and said to have so much value. And I really appreciated that for the government to say, hey, listen, you know, y'all have a unique position in this industry because Medicare is confusing. Medicare Advantage plans is something that people need help navigating, right? Because doctors change every year. I mean, you have to think about what happens during AEP. New companies can come into a territory. Existing companies can remove plans from the entire market, which I've seen countless times in countless territories. A new plan from an insurance company can be rolled out into the market. And most importantly, I think, well, most importantly for 2025 is that the changes will be for the existing plans that people are in. So whether that be the enhancements and or the reductions of plan benefits. So the agent's job and responsibility is to help the clients as an expert navigate that confusing market. And every year since I've been in the Medicare space, they said, hey, agent, we're going to pay you more money because we understand that there's intricacies of it. We also understand that there's inflation that exists just in general. So perhaps it's good for you to get paid more. So I love all of that aspect. And I think it's an ever-changing dynamic in the industry. But to see them say, hey, agents, we're going to pay you more money. We appreciate what you do. We see value in what you do. And the beneficiaries, the Medicare beneficiaries, the people that you're helping, they say that there's value in what you do. So if there's fear that you're out of business, that you're leaving, you know, the industry and they're going to regulate you out from an agent's perspective, that's clearly not the case, as stated by them in their CMS 2020 final rule.
Yeah, and then also, yeah, it was you were spot on with that. And I also know that we had countless hours of conversation about what does that mean, not only for the agent, obviously positive outlook there for them, as you mentioned, getting a raise, a little bit of concern initially over losing certain, you know, access to, you know, software technology. I mean, with us, you and I talk about that. That's not something we're concerned about. We're going to still be able to provide that, which we'll get to here in a bit. You know, for the agency side of it, there is a little bit of uncertainty for some that haven't really sunk their teeth into the rule. A lot of people have, but there's, and we don't have to go into all of it today, but the big message is that the sun is still shining and we're still in business. You know, if you're an agency owner right now, you've probably already had a chance to dive into it. It's not all doom and gloom. There's also still room left for additional changes to be made later on as they review what was officially rolled out, which I think is important to note. And I also want to, I really want to touch on something you mentioned. You know, there's a lot of ego in our industry. And for us, I can't echo what you said enough in terms of being a part of a team, a conglomerate like AmeriLife, and being able to work with individuals like, you know, Bobby Baish, Medicare Bob, as some of you know him, and Brian Keevan, and all of these guys who have been in the business for so long. That, you know, when this whole thing came down, there was a lot of panic in the industry. We saw it on social media. We saw it all over the place. I remember those two in particular, along with some of the leaders and affiliate leaders at the other IMOs that are part of AmeriLife, just saying, hey, deep breath. Like, I know you didn't read all 1,300 pages yet. None of these people who are freaking out have. Let the dust settle a little bit. Let's digest this. Let's understand it before we start to make or have any preconceived notions about what this means for the future of our industry. And so, you know, I give you a tremendous amount of credit for that because you had a real measured approach to it as well. And just, you know, being able to lean on those that have been doing it for a long time, I thought is a really good point that you made. But I want to talk about the trend. You mentioned it. Where are we trending? And where do you see this going based off of the conversations. You and I, Rep Medicarians, got to rub elbows with some amazing people, had some great conversations. Where do you see this trending based off of your understanding and really just digestion of this document, the ruling, and talking to some people that have been around it a long time? Where do you see this heading?
Okay, so that's a great question. So let's then transition to the next person that's, you know, changed here, which would be, why is this stuff even written, right? It's like, why do these rules change every single year? It's for the Medicare beneficiary. So obviously, as we know, there's bad apples that can, you know, spoil the whole batch, and that's unfortunate. And that's any industry. It does not matter. I tell people this all the time. Being a stockbroker in the 90s was phenomenal. Being a mortgage broker before 08 was phenomenal. Being an under 65 health insurance agent before ACA was phenomenal, right? These are just the trends, and these are the disruptions in industries, but disruption also equals opportunity. And it's just being able to identify what changes are occurring and then saying, hey, where is the disruption? But then looking at it from a positive outlook is, where is the opportunity for us to capitalize on this? And we're still a business. We're still for profit. And we still, regardless of the rule, I don't need rules to tell me to do what's in the best interest of the client, right? If you don't operate your business like that, you'll be out of business. And you're probably the person that's causing the regulation changes anyways. So the reality is, as long as you do what's in the best interest of the client, you'll never have a problem. Never. Never. We can count on, for the thousands and thousands and thousands of applications that we're writing, I can count on two hands the amount of complaints that we've had for that much volume, right, on Medicare Advantage. And if you know anything about the business, that's an amazing metric to look at. You know, it's like way less than 1%. We don't get a lot of complaints because we do what's right by the client. And that's what provides value. We, from the top down, FMO, IMO, you know, these acronyms, IMO is insurance marketing organization, and FMO is field marketing organization. They're terms that are used interchangeably, and those are used to represent whether it's a life insurance IMO or a health insurance FMO. So people use those interchangeably, but it's basically just a marketing organization or a brokerage that you have your insurance contracts through. They're the intermediary between you and the insurance company, since insurance companies don't want direct agents, which is a great point. They cannot handle it. That's why we exist, to be able to provide that training, that mentorship, and that guidance. So let's go to that next bite-sized chunk there, which is what Chase just mentioned is, well, there's disruption here. Where's the opportunity, and how is this going to actually, where's the trend going for the actual clients, which is the reason why this is passed. 1,300 pages. Nobody has read it all. I don't think the people that passed the rule have read it. Pretty certain that they haven't, if I was to guess. So that for the client, this model and changing dynamic, I think, is going towards what we call a VBC, a value-based care model, which means that the physicians are going to get paid based on the outcome of the services that they provide. Okay, so that's an amazing thing, meaning your block of business, whatever industry you're in, it doesn't matter, you have a book of business, your clients, whether they're your health patients for a physician or for an FMO, those are your agents, those are your clients, those are your book of business, if you will. For the insurance companies, it's their Medicare beneficiaries that are enrolled in the Advantage plans. For the agents, it's their clients. So for them, for the physicians looking at it and saying, well, what does CMS want to do, and how is this changing for us? Well, what's changing is that they want to see a better healthcare system with lower cost for the Medicare beneficiary. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that if you are paid on the outcome of your work and your quality of work is better than others, you theoretically should be making more money, right? Okay, meaning if you're an agent, as an analogy, if you're an insurance agent and you provide the best service, you answer the phone when the clients call, you help them find physicians, referrals, dentists, you're on top of your game, your clients love you, as opposed to the agents that don't answer the phone, that just get a sale, never talk to the person again. You know, that quality of service is way different than those that provide the best quality of service, which is also why you get paid a renewal to manage the client in the book of business. So you have to look at it from that perspective. Who's going to make more money? Those that provide the best services to the clients. And that's why sometimes you'll find a Medicare Advantage client that's married to their doctor. They love their doctor. This person, I actually get to see the doctor. not the physician's assistant or the nurse practitioner. I get to spend time with them. They actually talk to me like I'm a human being, right? Like, that's important stuff. This is your healthcare, right? And for the insurance company's perspective, the healthier the client is, the less cost that that comes out of their pocket, which means more profit for them. Now, they're only allowed to make a certain percentage of profit in the Medicare space. So keep that in mind as well. There's thresholds that they are only allowed to make a certain amount. So whenever they hit that amount, that's it, your cap, which is great as well. So there's a lot of positives there. So going towards a value-based care model means that the doctors are going to be judged a lot more based on the outcomes. So I don't know if that's going to mean that for a physician, if you are seeing four patients in an hour every 15 minutes, that if you get paid more money for seeing two patients in an hour because you're providing a better healthcare service. That could be the case. But that's where the trend is going for the clients in the future of 2025, 2026, and onward. So that was an initiative there, which I really appreciated, and I love that. I'm always in favor. They've always gotten my vote for anything that helps the Medicare beneficiaries. But adversely, when you're helping a Medicare beneficiary, which I think you were alluding to, is where's the change? You know, well, if we're giving so much to that Medicare beneficiary, who are you taking away from?
Right.
Where's that money?
Right. Well, that's kind of where there's so many areas of uncertainty for those that don't have that support function that we mentioned earlier, people to lean on. And so finding out and kind of feeling it out after digesting the information or really sinking your teeth into it, you have to be able to read up on the rule. But then also you should probably have a pretty good mentor that can have dialogue with you like this right here. I know that part of the conversations and the teachings that you've had ever since the rule was rolled out and you were able to fully understand it or attempt to, as we still every day, you know, learn more and more about it, you've really been telling the agents like, hey, look, the mission remains the same. Our focus is to best serve our clients in any way, form, or fashion. That mission for us remains the same. Now, does that mean that we have a few new things to learn? Absolutely. But we never got into this game, this business, this industry with the understanding that we weren't going to have to continue to evolve and educate ourselves. So it really shouldn't be that big of a deal. I think the ones that are really going to struggle with this are going to be at the higher level, at the IMO, the FMO level you talked about, that have been fat cats that haven't been supporting the agents and been getting by. And I'll just be blunt by saying that. But for those, and I'll promo you here, for those like yourself from a leadership position that have had your hands dirty from day one, training agents, being out there with them, showing them how to be successful, taking phone calls, supporting them day after day, guys like yourself, organizations like yours, ours, like you roll with the punches. And we've done this since day one, since we got into the business. So I think the ones that are going to struggle are going to be the ones that just really don't spin the co-op the way they're supposed to. The ones that look for every little angle to nickel and dime. Are we going to have to change our business models up a little bit? A little bit, yeah. But the main factor and the thing that we've talked about on these podcasts together for, you know, since we started doing this podcast, remains the same. Focus on serving the clients. You know, what is it that's important to them? What do they need that constitutes as best plan for them? And then accommodating and taking care of them. So I want to talk about those changes as we pivot now, talking about AEP. Like if you're an agent sitting out there right now, like what in the world, what do I do? Because co-op was supposedly gone. I'm going to get $100 for every new enrollment. Like if you're an agent listening in right now, what words of encouragement can you give them to go out and have a great AEP?
Okay. That is a great question. So let's talk about that. So what changes are coming during AEP? How could you be prepared for them? Right. So to summarize that question right there. And then, you know, the second part of the question is, so what changes are coming during AEP? One, but two, you know, how does your FMO IMO help you, and what changes are coming to your FMO IMO, and is it too late to get away from the bad ones that you can go to ones that do provide you value? It's a great question. So I think that to go with part one, during AEP, what type of changes are we going to see? Well, the 2025, the maximum out of pocket for prescription drugs is going to be $2,000. That means the most amount of money that they can spend out of their pocket is $2,000. That's about a 4x decrease. So that means that the health insurance companies are going to have to pay a little bit more money. The pharmaceutical companies are going to have to negotiate rates. So there's going to be cost that has to come down, but it doesn't just mean that it's money that is comes from nowhere. I mean, this money has to come from somewhere. So it's going to get paid by somebody that's not the Medicare beneficiary. And if the government, not the government, if we, the taxpayers, do not subsidize it, then where does the money come from? Well, it comes from the pharmaceutical companies that they have negotiated prices on, right? Which is called the formulary, the list of drugs that they might tighten up on. And it's going to come from the insurance company. So that anytime that that kind of right works like this, it's inversely correlated, meaning that the when you cut cost here, there's going to be more cost here. So as you cut cost that the Medicare beneficiary is required to pay, then the cost goes up for the insurance companies. So when that happens, this is a major disruptor, of course. And I think what you'll see is the ANOC, the annual notice of change that comes out in September, which shows on, it's like a T-chart on the left-hand side. It shows, hey, this is what your current benefits are. On the right-hand side, it shows what's changing for your 2025 health insurance plan or whatever the future year is. And I think for the first time in 7 years now, I think we're going to have that right side of that, which is the new plan year. I think that's not going to be a positive change for a lot of insurance companies. I think this also provides a lot of opportunity for certain insurance companies to gobble up market share. And we know the top three companies in the country. We know who the big nationals are. So maybe the regionals, which is mentioned in the rule that they feel like they're too small to give out marketing dollars, which goes to the co-op, which we'll address that in a second. But you know, that's definitely an important thing. So I think plans are going to get worse in certain aspects for certain companies, right? Especially the ones with low star ratings. The lower the star rating, the less that they deserve to get paid. It's an outcome-based system, like kind of value-based care from the for the insurance companies, just like it is for the physicians, that trend. So I think we are going to start seeing some negative trends. And well, we have to address, when do clients actually feel that pain? And it's when they go to start using the health insurance. So I think it's not going only to be a big AEP, but I think it's going to be a big OEP. When they go to actually start using their health insurance in January, regardless of if they had a plan change, they're going to be scared. Well, I'm paying more money for this, right? Whereas I wasn't paying it before. So I think we're going to have a big AEP, but perhaps even a bigger OEP, right? Which is amazing. So usually the changes is there's over a million people that make changes during AEP anyways, right? It's a substantial amount of people. You can start compliantly marketing October 1st. So realistically, it's about a 9-week window, but it's 7 weeks of enrollment, okay? So that's 7 weeks of enrollment. That's a substantial amount of business. But I think with all of these disruptors, with the cost being driven down drastically, the insurance companies have to make it up somewhere, and that's by cutting benefits. So when they cut benefits, I think that some plans, they're simply just going to be cut so heavily that a lot of clients, I think with the 33 million people that are on Medicare Advantage plans and an ever-growing number, I think instead of seeing a less than 1% change, 1% would be about 3 million, I think less than a 1% change, you know, I think we could see potentially a 30, 40% change in people.
That's wild.
Think about a bit, that's 10 to 14 million people, right? A roundabout number to keep the math simple. That's a substantial amount of people changing. That shows you how much opportunity there is within the disruption of the market. So then you got to say, wow, if that change is coming, how do we then address that opportunity as a FMO? And how do we take advantage of that to help service clients and put them in the best situation? But just like anything, if you see a trend and you know that the trend's coming, you can be well prepared for it, right? It's proper planning prevents poor performance, which is what we do. But that's literally what you pay us to do. I mean, you have to think about it from an agent's perspective. You're paying your upline to help you and help navigate the market. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to you to make sure that we understand it and then pass down the knowledge that comes from the top people in the industry, like Chase was mentioning, AmeriLife comes from the insurance carriers. It's our job to really digest that so you can focus on what you do best, which is sales. We don't want to take you out of the field and you have to focus on this, be fearful. We'll tell you what they are requiring us to do and we'll do calls on it, right? So we'll provide more value, you know, emergency call. We don't necessarily need to do something because I don't think the sense of urgency is incredibly high, but we are going to keep you prepared for AP. So that's some of the stuff that's coming. And then the second part of the question that Chase was just mentioning is going to be, well, how do the FMOs adapt to this when they say, hey, we're getting rid of funding that we've been providing for a long period of time to you, which is known as co-op funding. And what that is, for some of you that don't know, which is shocking to me, and Chase knows it, but some people don't even get any co-op funding. They don't even know what it is. And they've been in the industry for a while. But basically what it is it's the insurance company saying, hey, we want to give you money so you can grow the book of business of your Medicare clients, right? And then what that means is whenever someone gives you money, I don't think this is the case because it is not at all with us. Let's just say, for example, you know, Anthem gave us $50,000 towards marketing, and we then give that money. We then use that money towards actual marketing. We, as an FMO, we use all that money. We're not pocketing any cash, which is the big issue, is that a lot of people, they'd get $200,000 and they might keep $100,000 of it in their own pocket, right?
Which, it happens.
Yeah, it happens, right? And you have FWA, fraud, waste, and abuse. I mean, it's a class that you take every single year, right? Or however frequently you have to take it. But, you know, you see that they're trying to eliminate the waste aspect of it, right? And that's what it is, right? So this is administrative fees, as they call it. And that's money that they want to eliminate going. So the money's still there. It's just a matter of how it's going to flow. We don't know, but the restrictions on it are definitely imposed to the point where they're cutting it out in its entirety, but the money's still there. So I do think, to the next part of this question, is that FMOs, you know, what's the saying, Chase? The fat pigs get slaughtered or something along those lines?
A greedy pig gets led to slaughter.
A greedy pig gets led to slaughter. And it's about time, unfortunately. So that's what is going to happen. And those that rely on co-op funding strictly to operate their business, they can be out of business. I've seen a major shop just go under. And it wasn't, of course, just because of this. But when you wind down operations, it's because of all the different factors and changes in the industry. So now, where do the FMOs come into play here is the next question that we have. And that's a phenomenal second part to this question. Is the co-op fundings going away? Does that mean that your support, your training, your mentorship, your uplines, does that mean that they're all going away? I mean, a lot of people would never be successful at all if they didn't have a mentor, because a mentor is a cheat code. Someone that's I've been in the industry a decade. Can I give you all that knowledge in 6 to 12 months so you don't need to take a decade to do it? Right? Like, that's the philosophy of having someone that does it over an extended period of time so you don't have to, right? That's our job. So with the co-op funding going away, I think you're going to see a lot of people struggle, get scared, and not receive the support that they once had, not be able to get the lead flow, which is the most important thing. In order for you to build a book of business, you need to have leads, people to see, right? Of course. So with that money coming from the insurance companies, right? And the government says, we're getting rid of that because you could steer people into certain plans because you're getting money because of that, okay, steering. We're going to get rid of that and it's gone. So what's the answer from us? Well, the answer from us in particular is we're still going to provide that support to you. We're still going to provide the co-op funding, right? All within the new regulation, the CMS Final Rule 2025, all within that compliance. So we're still going to be able to provide support to you, mentorship, guidance. We're still going to be able to provide discounts on leads. We're still going to be able to provide leads, especially at a fixed cost, a cost per lead, whereas some FMOs out there tell you, hey, yeah, we'll give you some money, but, you know, figure out the leads on yourself. Then you got to drop mail and get an uncertain return. There's enough risk being an entrepreneur as it is. So for us, it's business as usual. We're not changing anything to help the agents. We're not getting rid of that. And think about how much value is there, right? Because you're going to see in the next year how many people are making changes. And it might be too late if you don't get your FMO change to the right ones that are still going to be able to provide massive value, leads, funding, all of that stuff that could kill your business overnight, right? There's a saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it certainly was destroyed in one.
Yeah, I don't want to make this proclamation and just be too controversial, but I'll say it. You know, part of the reason the rule change took place is because the bad actors doing what they did and misappropriating funds. And to say that that's not a contributing factor to the rule change would be completely false. We all know it was. Because once again, circling back to the original point of just making sure you're taking care of the client, putting the client first. So for you out there, I'll say it a little more bluntly. You're going to have a decision to make. You know, if you weren't receiving support from a co-op perspective, are you dead in the water right now? Because if you are, there's a bigger problem deeply embedded in your business. Co-op should not make or break your success and your ability to take care of your clients. Now, you'll also see, and we may not be notified. We may only see the big ones as the Titanic goes down, but you're going to see some news break about certain organizations that, you know, have become accustomed to pocketing co-op funding, doing certain things with it. And I don't want to, we're not going to name anybody or anything like that. But what, to the original point that Holden was making, for us, it's slow and steady. You know, our plan and our attack on this market to help as many people as possible, starting at the agent level and then getting to the client level, that doesn't change. We have not wavered on that. And so we're still going to be providing co-op support, but it's going to come out of our pocket. You know, we as the IMO FMO, we're going to be taking care of the agent, just like Holden said. And the reason for that is because instead of leaving the agent high and dry and leaving it to them to figure out, you know, they completely have to revamp their business model. We want it to be business as usual. We want it to be a simplistic, simple transition. Okay, here are the rules. I'm going to follow those rules. I'm going to be compliant. Now I need my partner to step in and help me. And that's where, for those that produce, it has nothing to do about where they put the business or what's their decision making on a particular carrier. It's all about those that perform at a high level and do what's right for their clients. We are going to make sure we are right there side by side to support them. And we're going to be there to take those phone calls. We're going to be there to help them with lead strategies to get in front of more clients. You know, the thing that I'll throw out there to you today is just ask yourself that question is your group, and this isn't a recruiting pitch, but just, is my current company helping me prepare to overcome any potential obstacles and issues I may come across with this new role? I know that there's a lot of amazing groups out there. Holden and I have talked, you and I talked about this ad nauseum, about how awesome this group is, how awesome of a job this group has done with putting it out there of, this is what we believe the change will be, and this is how we're going to overcome it. You know, there's been some amazing groups. But for those of you that are sitting out there, if you find yourself, I haven't heard from my upline, I haven't talked to my leader or my mentor about a strategy for AEP or what this rule change means, that's kind of a problem. In my opinion, that's kind of a problem. If you've just been left to your own to figure it out, to me, that's a problem. There should be strategy sessions and conversations taking place. So I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'll just say there are a lot of amazing groups out there that are willing to help and jump in. And we just killed the last point, which was co-op. You know, we're going to still be taking care of the producers we serve and work with. We're going to make sure that their needs are met so that they can go out and help as many people as possible. Holden, before we break, any parting shots, anything you want to throw out to everybody out there? Is there's anxiety, or there has been? I think it started to calm a little bit. Anything you want to throw out there to everybody before we break?
Yeah, I would say agent uncertainty is where the risk lies. And that's going to be something that can be addressed with the right manager, upline, FMO. And I think that if you're aligned with the right people, you should never have fear. Disruption only equals opportunity for those that are properly prepared for the disruption, and the opportunity is identified. And how to address it to continue to grow your business model is very important. And if you don't have the right people that you're aligned with, that could not only just harm your business, but what's the ripple effect of that? Well, that harms your family, right? That harms you on a personal level too. And if you're not aligned with the right people, you could be out of business. And industries change, and people get regulated out of industries all the time. And having the right support is going to provide you with a decrease in risk, you know, the uncertainty, which is risk. And that's what's going to help you stay diversified. It's part of our competitive advantage of why we sell so many different, within the insurance industry, there's different verticals, meaning, you know, you have the vertical for the P&C guys within the insurance industry. You have the vertical for the life guys that just sell IULs. You know, within each vertical, there's subsets of them too, you know, just the IULs, just the whole life. Just the term. Then you have the vertical of annuities. You have the vertical of final expense, right? Which is a life insurance product, but it's its own subset in there. Then you have the vertical of those that sell ancillary products, cancer, heart attack, stroke, indemnity plans. And then, of course, the many verticals and the health insurance side, Medicare in particular. And I think the diversification among those verticals that are products you can sell to the same individual, meaning cross-selling, is something that gives us a competitive advantage and allows us to provide those resources, mentorship, and support, whereas certain FMOs will just outsource that because they're not good at it. They just focus on Medicare. They just focus on life. And that's all that they do. Go find another home for that. So I like to be able to provide value on all of those because I've done them all at a high level over extended periods of time. And it's only helped me get better at it. I've written thousands and thousands of Medicare applications. I know those very well. On the life insurance side, I've done well over 3,000 presentations for final expense. And that's an amazing thing. So, and plus all the ones that I've done with agents, right? So I think that just look at where you are and start having those conversations to see where you, the agent, need to be.
Yeah, and I'll just throw this out there to the audience because what you said is absolutely perfect. You know, what do you do when your kids, if, for anybody who has kids, you know, what do you do when your kid has a nightmare? You know, typically they come and run to you. They're looking for you to console them. What do you do as a former athlete when you're looking to elevate and become better? You look to your coach to coach you up and tell you how to get better. What do you need to work on? Give you that cold, hard truth. Same thing here. If you're a leader in the market right now, I just put it on you. Like, make sure you're working with your people. And there's concern. Just because they're not beating your door down, they're not calling you, doesn't mean there's not a little bit of concern. Doesn't mean there's not a little bit of anxiety of what's going to take place. It's not as bad as what, you know, what may be happening in their mind, what they perceive it to be. But just spend some time with them, love them up, coach them up, and appreciate you and your leadership, Holden. And also for the time today, I always love doing the podcast with you. We will jump on and do it again sooner than later.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the EFES podcast. For more, visit EFESnation.com and subscribe to the podcast catalog on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.